Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rod.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanet.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Hope you're having a nice little Tuesday. It's your sports bros, Rob and Suk. I'm Rob.
Sada.
Big Suk's right over there.
Ready.
I believe the rain has moved in. It's raining out there.
Yeah. Does happen in November.
Stay safe, kids. It's not going to be raining in Madison, Wisconsin this weekend.
No, 55 and sunny.
Might be worth a road trip. You ever been to Madison?
My parents lived there for a bit.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You been there?
No, I was in college. When I went to Utah, they packed up and left and went to Wisconsin.
Hmm.
So I never made it. I never got a chance to make it out there because, well, I was in Utah.
I hear it's a wonderful place.
Yeah, they were fond of it. Yeah, I've heard, and that's, like, if you're an Oregon fan and you were looking at cool places to go in the Big Ten, I would assume
that would be toward the top of the list.
Yeah, that's like top two or three, right?
If you were going...
Like, in all the teams in the Big Ten?
Just potential road trips in the conference.
Road trips?
Well, I was thinking, like, more of, like, Wisconsin, like a golf trip or something. Like, there's a lot of good golf up there.
Yeah, there is. What's the big one there?
Well, you have Whistling Straits.
Whistling Straits that host the U.S. Open.
Kohler and all those up there. I think Mike Kaiser, the Bandon guy, he has one up there that's relatively new, I think. I don't know.
I've heard wonderful things about it. My parents spoke very highly of their, I think they were there for like maybe 2 or 3 years.
Let's get it. We're not going to.
But. I'd rather fly. I'm not really into driving to Wisconsin, but you know.
Maybe someday.
Yeah.
Coming up this hour, we'll get to our college football Tempranillo. Everybody's bitching about the big nooner.
Yeah, I love how everyone's like livid over that thing.
It makes no sense.
I mean, my God, you're on national TV, you're the standalone game, and everyone's unhappy about it?
We'll have college football Jack Kerouac, Big 12 edition, this hour. Mm-hmm. The college football playoff rankings are out once this Kansas-Michigan State game is over. That's about 10 minutes away.
Yeah, they'll just sandwich it in there.
Yeah, well, I say 10 minutes. There's 10 minutes left in the game, so maybe in about 30 minutes we'll have that, and we'll be able to reveal that to you. Oregon, likely to be number one?
Yeah, I would assume.
I would lay that bet, yeah.
It was unanimous last time, and I don't...
But like any good journalist, I cannot say... I mean, we don't know.
I don't see any big movement. That is true, right? You know.
Got to be accurate.
I don't wonder what the Vegas odds you'd have to lay in order to, I guess, what you would get for Oregon to not be number one.
Coming up in the club tonight, Wisconsin. There's a bro up there who they thought died, but he didn't, and I want to talk about it.
Oh, all right. Let's go. So was he trying to pretend to be dead on purpose?
Have you seen this? It's kind of a national story.
I don't think I have seen this.
Yeah. I don't want to give away too much.
Okay.
I have not seen this.
Yeah.
But
so I've often thought about faking my own death. I think it'd be kind of fun.
Yeah, he hated his family, and I think he wanted to just run off with some gal from Uzbekistan.
Seems pretty good.
Anyway, I just have questions.
Sure.
We'll get to that in the club right now. The Hot 5 at 5.
Oh!
Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on The Fan by Victorico's Mexican Food. Discover Victorico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or get it delivered straight to your door at victorico's.com.
Number five.
Enormous group play games in the NBA Cup tonight.
Would you please get it right? It's the Emirates NBA Cup. I don't like you.
What is Emirates?
It's the airline.
The Middle Eastern airline, right?
I'm not adding those.
I don't like that you're just.
I mean, we don't say the Allstate Sugar Bowl or whatever.
Actually, we do.
No, we don't.
I think
they
ESPN
want us
has to contractually.
It's the Dr. Pepper National Championship.
Nah, I ain't doing that.
Look at you.
Big games. How will the Blazers respond? They host Minnesota.
That an airing of the grievances. They're going to unite and play as one.
Well, apparently DeAndre Ayton is hurt now.
He's got a finger. He's got
10 of them, probably.
No, but he's got one that's problematic. I think he said he was questionable. Does that do anything for
you? Yeah, questionable. That's what I saw as well.
No. More injury news. Pelicans' Zion Williamson out 4 to 6 weeks. Hamstring strain. Bucks' Damian Lillard enters concussion protocol. He will not play tonight.
Dude, they are so bad. Number four. Bucks trade. It's not looking so good.
For either side.
Yeah, they're 2-8 right now.
Big time college hoops tonight. Michigan State taking on top ranked Kansas. This game in Atlanta. They are currently tied at 52. Later, also in Atlanta, number 6, Duke takes on number 19, Kentucky. Cooper Flagg is out of the gate, averaging 16 points, 9 boards, and shooting 44% overall.
Yeah, by all accounts, he's everything as advertised.
Oregon hosting UP tonight here on The Fan at 7:30. The Ducks are 2-0. The Pilots are 1-1. They got drubbed by UC Santa Barbara.
And here's the big, you know, the situation on this is you've got choices. So you can listen to the Ducks.
Here's the situation.
Here on The Fan. Or. Yep,
that's right.
You flip over to 910.
Listen to Swagger.
And hear Swag.
Yep. If you want to watch it.
That is the situation. No.
It'll be on Big Ten Network. Beavers hosting Western Oregon tonight. Now that's a doozy. The Ducks women's team won again today. They are 4-0.
Yeah, they upset Baylor, who's like 12th in the country.
Yeah, they upset Baylor Sunday. They beat North Texas by about 30 today.
Well, it's official in Dallas. Cowboys quarterback Dak Prescott done for the season. He will have hamstring surgery.
I love how like they were like, we'll talk about it after 4 weeks. Did he rip his hamstring off the bone?
Well, we'll talk about it in 4 weeks.
Is he going to make a rousing playoff push here with the Cowboys? Season's been over.
They're going to tank it now.
Saw Jerry doubled down against the Sun.
Yeah, Jerry's refute. Like his...
It's officially off the rails.
It is so bizarre that this is like a hill that he's willing to die on.
Well, they couldn't protect the field from the sun, but they could protect the coach's eyes.
Yes, and now Jerry's saying this should be an advantage for them because they know where the sun's going to be. Is he really suggesting, because it feels like, that they should be calling plays based on the sun? Oh, my God. Hey, it's second quarter, guys, just so you know. Can't run anything over the middle. Why? The sun.
Boy.
Way to go, Jerry.
Also, Niners news. Former Duck D'Amador Lenore gets a new deal with San Fran. 5 years, $92 million.
Hey!
Good little player.
Yeah.
I mean, he was not a high draft pick, so that's nice work for him.
Good little player. Free agent slugger Juan Soto is set to meet with 4 teams in California next week. He's going to start with Toronto. Then it's the Red Sox, Mets, and Yankees.
I do have inside information.
Confirmed information?
Confirmed information. Ah. You know, my buddy was just out at Mets Fantasy Camp, sent me a photo with Mr. Cohen.
Uh-huh.
Cohen said, hey, should I re-sign Pete and Soto? My buddy said, yeah. So,
nice.
There you go. Inside information. Basically, it's a done deal.
Confirmed information.
Confirmed information. The polar bear's back and Juan Soto guaranteed to be a Met. I asked him if Steve Cohen smelled like money.
Did he?
He just said he was a very cool guy. He was wearing a nice quarter zip.
Well, there are thought to be several mystery teams courting Soto as well. He is 26, coming off 41 bombs with the Spankies. Any deal he gets is expected to exceed $600 million in total guaranteed monies. One other note today, the Angels have signed Braves catcher Travis d'Arnaud, 2 years, $12
million. Former Met. Look at that. That man is worth several billions. It's just...
Looks like a dad.
Yeah, you would never know.
Or kind of a grandpa.
Yeah, grandpa. He's all sloppily dressed.
Chicago Bears have fired offensive coordinator Shane Waldron. They have lost three in a row. They now have Green Bay, Minnesota, Detroit, and San Francisco all in a row.
Well, and it's not just that they've lost three in a row. It's that Caleb Williams looked like progress was being made and there was a lot to like. And then we had that weird Commanders game in the Hail Mary. And since then, it has just been an unmitigated disaster.
Yeah.
Just fire the whole staff at this point. Start fresh.
Only two offenses average fewer yards than the Bears. That would be the Browns and the Patriots. The passing game coordinator, Thomas Brown, is taking over in the interim.
Yeah, dude, just what were they thinking bringing back Eberflus last year? I mean, you just basically wasted a rookie season on your quarterback and possibly did damage to his psyche long term.
The Hot 5-5 brought to you by Victor Rico's Mexican Food. Discover Victor Rico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or delivered straight to your door at victorricos.com. We'll get back to our college football Tempranillo. Why is everyone griping about the big nooner? We'll do that next on The Fan. All right, back to our college football Tempranillo, where Ohio State, I guess, is getting a sixth consecutive big noon game.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
I believe that is,
or maybe six on the season.
I think it might be six on the season. I don't think it's six in a row, but I think it's their sixth of the season. Yes.
Yeah. When they play Indiana.
Yeah.
And they're not happy about it.
Well, I mean, you look at the, I mean, I guess if you're Ohio State, you could say that you don't need the exposure. You don't need the coverage. I'm still fascinated that noon is such an awful time. Is it?
I don't get that.
It just doesn't give you enough time to get drunk.
I guess.
That's like the only...
But everyone seems to be opposed to the big nooner.
Yeah.
And I don't...
Well, yeah, Joe Klatt is constantly defending it. He's like, oh, yeah, sorry that we bring our show out there and we put national attention on your school, but I guess Ohio State might be the one school that would be like, dude, we don't need your attention. But even some of the smaller schools are being all pissy about it.
Yeah, I don't... I mean, I don't know. I guess it's not ideal, but at the same time, why is I don't know. Maybe we're making it too big of a deal because Klatt's getting all fired up with fans and stuff. But
yeah, he seems to be all.
And it is a money. I mean, like it's a money grab. The 9 a.m. slot used to suck, and now it doesn't, thanks to the big nooner, and they're making a lot of money off of it. And he's saying as much. He's like, look, people are watching. It's you know, it used to be crap. Now it's good. And so, yeah, if you're a good team, you're going to play on the big nooner a few times.
I thought you said it was this week. I'm looking at it. It's Utah and Colorado.
No, well, it's Ohio State, Indiana next week.
Oh, next week.
Because they're both, I think they're both maybe on a bye, or one of them's, Indiana's on a bye.
Indiana's definitely on a bye.
Yeah, it's in Colorado, and I think that's what it was. I was listening, because I'll listen to Klatt's show from time to time, and that's what he was saying, is the people of Boulder are being all pissy.
They don't like it?
They don't like it.
So theirs is 10 a.m.?
And he's like,
is that right?
Kidding me? I guess it'll be 8 a.m. Mountain Time.
It wouldn't be 8, it'd be 10.
It says right here. I don't know. Well, I guess that maybe that's when the show starts.
Yeah.
I'm on the Fox website right there and it says 8 a.m. Mountain Time, but that's
again,
the show.
I mean, we know that the games don't start. We're as far west as you can get besides Hawaii.
Yeah.
And our games start at 9, right? So they're 1 hour over, so 10 starts at 10 there.
Yeah.
That's a little early, but also kind of a fun, I don't know, fun to get up and morning tailgate, I guess.
See that it isn't though. I mean, you just trying to sell it like that, like nobody wants to go to a football game at 10 a.m.
Really?
I just don't think they do. Maybe a small fraction, maybe 10%. I mean, what percentage of your fans do you think really want to go to a game at 10 instead of 2?
Well, I just feel like, and this maybe it's just me and I'm in the minority, but I feel like these games, they become all-day affairs. And if the game is at 10, it's not an all-day affair.
I think people want them to be all-day affairs.
They do?
Yeah.
All right. Mm. Well.
And maybe not everyone, but I think like the crowd, and it's a lot of them who centers their every fall Saturday around this, they want it right smack dab in the middle.
Yeah, I'm looking here. I was just looking at the different games. So we've had like Penn State, West Virginia, Texas, Michigan, there's Ohio State and Marshall, and maybe that kind of rubs people the wrong way. Like, seriously, you're making us wake up for Marshall? Like,
what did you say this week? Colorado and who?
Colorado and in Utah.
Oh.
But if you're Colorado, every game matters, because if you win out, you're in the Big 12 championship. But Ohio State had to play Nebraska. So, yeah, they've done a couple of these.
What is the perfect game time?
For a player or for...
Not players. Who cares about the players?
I would say probably 2 o'clock.
2?
As a player, noon was always my favorite time.
But 2's not a window.
I think the more common available slot, the 3:30 or 4 o'clock is ideal, I think.
Okay, so you got 9 a.m., noon, or 12:30, yeah. 4:30, or 7.
See, and I'm an old fuddy-duddy, and it'd be different if it was closer, but if you're going down to Corvallis, Eugene... I don't want the later kickoff. I'd rather have the earlier kickoff, because I'm with you. What was the Ohio State kick? Was that a 4?
That was a 4 o'clock kick.
That was a 4, and
the game almost ended up being 4 hours.
And then you're an hour and a half to get out of that damn thing. And you know, when you're driving 3 hours home, I hate that. So I would have preferred that game. I will sacrifice and wake up a little early and give up some tailgate in order to get that thing started at noon versus started at 4.
All right, well, sorry, Ohio State.
Yeah.
You little babies.
And they got Michigan and Ohio State will be the big noon kick at the end of November, too. So they will definitely have a handful this year.
Well, I don't feel bad for them.
And last year, yeah, Ohio State's on there a bunch. I'm looking at last year's, too. They are a regular visitor. You know who else is on there a lot is Colorado. Colorado actually is on there more than Ohio State.
You know what it seems akin to is I remember a couple of years ago, Oregon fans starting to get bent that they were constantly being put in the 7:30 at night spot.
Yeah.
That nobody wanted that one because of how ridiculously late everyone gets home. And that happened four times, five times in a season.
Would you have more of a gripe about a 9 a.m. game or a 7:30 p.m. game?
Oh, the 7:30 p.m. game,
yeah,
I think.
That to me is worse.
As a one-off, maybe that game is fun and fine if you've planned for it, but like you don't want more than one late game at all. You could deal with a handful of noon games.
So, those late games, it's kind of weird, the late window now, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there are some games, obviously, but it just doesn't feel the same. Well, obviously, because the Pac-12's gone, but yeah. You know what I mean.
Like, Pac-12 After Dark was
there's still good teams to have some good matchups at, you know.
I'll tell you what, though.
Late.
Again, for me,
Utah was late.
Yeah, I would never drive to a 7:30 game. It's not happening.
Yeah.
I'll just tell you that right now. Under no circumstances would I go see my team play at 7:30 at night. I have no interest in getting out of a stadium at 1 in the morning and then drive. Again, it'd be different if I lived in,
right?
You know, Portland State, right? If Portland State had a 7:30 kick and for God
knows. It's the same reason you could go to a Blazers game at 7:30, sure. But not down in Eugene.
Down in Eugene. By the way, so since 2019, when they started the big nooner, Ohio State is number one. Would you care to guess how many appearances? 2019.
Well, you're sitting there making 6 this year, so I'm going to say 15.
21.
Damn.
Yeah. Michigan.
So maybe they're just tired of it out there?
They're just tired of it.
And by the way, the YouTube chat points out that Michigan, Ohio State every year is at noon.
So, Ohio State has 21, Michigan has 17, and then Colorado, Nebraska, Oklahoma have 7. So basically, if anyone wants to bitch, it's Michigan and Ohio State because they're there all the time.
And they don't play that game on the West Coast, right? Like, because it's too early? Well, I mean, in other words, they never put the big nooner on a West Coast stadium.
West Coast location. I don't think so.
I have all the games here. And I will look and see if there's anything.
Although they may have when it was the Pac-12.
So there's one in the far west in this year is Provo.
But that's Mountain Time, right?
That's Mountain Time. Do Colorado? I'm not seeing.
Yeah,
I'm not seeing a West Coast game.
Yeah, it's too early.
Nope.
But I'm surprised to see him in the Mountain Time zone. Actually, yeah. I didn't know that.
Nope. I'm going back all the way. It does not appear. Oh, there you go. You got to go back to 2019, the very first one. Was number 10 Utah at USC in Los Angeles, and that was 9 a.m. So in all the years they've been doing it, there's been one game on the Pacific Coast.
I bet that's weird.
That was
wake up and play a 9 a.m. football game.
That was probably a little weird. I can't say that I ever had the misfortune of having to do that.
I think I remember those coaches talking about how awful it was because those how early those players' days had to start.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. If you're playing at 9, I mean, you're, you're at the stadium.
Like, you think it's tough on the fans. How about the guys that are gaffed to, like, get to the stadium, do their meal, their warm-up, their uniform stuff? Like,
yeah, I mean, most people get to the stadium at least an hour 45 to 2 hours early is usually pretty standard when buses start arriving.
Yeah, like, when you were a player and you got, like, an itinerary or, like, a countdown clock, what, like, how far back did that start before the game? 4 hours, 5 hours back that it starts counting you down until,
like,
kickoff time?
Yeah, because you have your pregame, and then depending on where you're at, a lot of people get taped before you go over, like, if you're on the road. So, yeah, it's at least a four-hour minimum. So if you're a 9 a.m. you know kick, you're probably waking up somewhere around 4:30 or 5, you know, and that's tough. That's a tough one. As a fan base too, I don't want to wake up and get to a game at 9, especially if I have to commute. And I think most of these places, a lot of the fans are commuting. I don't know how many of these places where the fans are driving 5 minutes and getting to the stadium.
But it's not 9 in Ohio.
No, it's not 9 in Ohio.
It's noon.
Yeah, well, 21 times I'm guessing that pisses them off a little bit.
Babies. So. Well, suck more.
Yeah. Quit being the
Then you'll play night games at UCLA at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, try being less good, yeah. Dummies.
Yeah, you idiots. Wait till that happens. You could be bitching up a storm.
That whiny bitch. It is fascinating that Colorado is bitching about anything, though.
Yeah,
you
no kidding.
Shut up and be happy that someone's paying attention to
no
you.
No kidding.
I ran through that bull junk you wrote.
Who's on that Big Nooner? I never watched that. Is Reggie Bush still
that's
on there?
Bush, Leinart, Klatt.
Brady Quinn on there?
Yeah,
he was.
Urban
I don't know if he
Meyer
still is.
Isn't
yeah,
Herbs?
I think Herbs is on there.
It's a whole thing.
Game Day's got me back. I'm in on Game Day.
Yeah, they've done a nice job.
It's a good show, except for Corso.
They've done a nice revamp. Yeah, but he's getting less and less, right?
Not well. I mean, they roll him out there for picks, and he slurs his way through it.
Really?
Yeah. But and I could do without Desmond Howard, but Nick Saban, yeah, Pat McAfee. Kirk Herbstreit.
Saban's been great, and I think that McAfee being there has pulled another element out of Herbstreit.
Yes.
He's way more fun than he used
yeah,
to be.
I agree.
Herbstreit was a little bit dry, and I think he's more comfortable with yeah. McAfee around for some
and
reason.
And so is Saban.
Yeah,
Saban
for sure.
Thinks McAfee's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Say what you will about Pat McAfee, because he's not for everyone.
He's the new straw that stirs the drink, man.
Pat McAfee is the best thing to happen to that show, and he
yeah.
resurrected a dying brand.
Did you see the guest pickers last week? See who that was? You didn't watch it, did you?
No,
I did see who that was.
Where was the Big Noon at?
LSU. Baton Rouge.
No, I didn't see who the guest
was. It was Skeens and Livy.
Oh, really?
Livy Dunn. And boy, she was milk toast.
Yeah. Well, of course. She's not doing anything controversial.
And he kind of was, too.
Well, maybe they're a little more boring than you think.
A little.
I mean, I love that Livy Dunn's fame is basically for just...
Being hot.
And not even, like, super scandalous hot. Just like, oh, here's me, like, in a bathing suit.
She was an All-American in the uneven bars.
She's a hot, but man.
Yeah, way to go, Paul Skeens.
He's big.
Yeah, he's like 6'6", 6'7", isn't he?
I don't know. I just saw him walking. They showed him walking next to McAfee.
Yeah, he's
huge.
He's a big dude.
Wants to be an Air Force guy.
I'm worn out.
He started at Air Force.
He was an Air Force
yeah.
guy.
But I think he's like made noises that like he actually wants to get into aviation or even Air Force service when he's done playing.
He might have a hard time flying.
I would think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did the flyover when he was on set, and he got all bonerific.
Yeah. I wanted to be a pilot, too, until someone told me that there's weight limits in that cockpit. I was like, damn it.
All right, the Temper Neo continues next. We'll have our college football Jack Kerouac as well. This is the Big 12 edition. That Big 12 is bananas.
It's the Big 12!
Coming up next. But first, Buck with SportsCenter.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
What?
We're talking college football because we like college football here.
One of our teams is undefeated.
Yeah, my team's not. Although, you better watch out for our team.
Two of our teams are undefeated.
Yeah, whatever, Buck.
Oh, that's right.
I don't want to hear about your number one Oregon Ducks. We're talking about real Big 12 football. We're not talking about the Big 10.
You can't it's the Big 1 football!
Totally forgot Buck's a Duck fan.
I know, right?
Oh, yeah.
Duck alum.
Like number one in the country.
I know.
At least I think.
Hey, the fact that there's like four undefeated teams left and somehow Lord's University is one of them, what in the hell?
So you guys host us this week, right?
Yeah.
Should we play AI Isaac Souk BYU Kansas preview?
We were talking about a championship in that realm.
Yeah. Let's see if it applies. Do you have that, Buck? Yeah, he's gonna grab.
I don't think it applies.
He's gonna grab it. Let's see if it works.
All right, welcome back to primetime. We got a lot to talk about, but I first want to start with college football and why I think my former school is going to win.
Ooh.
The Kansas Jayhawks have been struggling in football for a while now, but there is hope that they can turn things around and compete for the championship next year.
To do so, the team
needs to focus on a few key areas. First, they need to improve their offensive production. Last year, the team ranked near the bottom of the Big 12 in scoring and total offense.
That's fake news.
To fix this, the team should work on improving their passing game, specifically with the development of quarterback Jalon Daniels. They should also invest in their offensive line, which struggled to protect the quarterback and create running lanes.
I'm worried about Jalon.
Secondly, the Jayhawks need to improve their defense, which was also a weak point last season.
You sound weird in this, too.
The team gave up an average of over 40 points per game, which is simply not good enough.
Yeah, something.
To turn this around, they should focus on developing their pass rush and improving their coverage in the secondary. Finally, the Jayhawks need to build a winning culture.
Yes.
This means fostering a sense of unity and purpose within the team, as well as instilling a winning mentality. They can do this by setting clear goals, building team chemistry, and developing leadership on and off the field.
God,
if the
so
Jayhawks
generic.
Can focus on these areas
Buzzwords.
And make the necessary improvements, they have the potential to compete for the championship next year. It won't be easy, but with hard work, dedication, and a little bit of luck, anything is possible.
God, that's terrible.
Well, the Kansas Jayhawks have some potential. It's unlikely that they will win the championship next year.
The championship.
There are still several areas where the team needs to make significant improvements, and it may take more time to build a winning program. On the other hand, BYU has a strong team with a proven track record of success. BYU has a talented quarterback in Jaren Hall, who showed tremendous potential last season. And a strong offensive line that should protect him well. They also have a balanced running attack and a deep receiving core that can create mismatches against opposing defenses. Defensively, the Cougars were one of the best teams in the nation last year, ranking in the top 25 in total defense and scoring defense.
Why do you say defense?
They have a solid pass rush
and
a talented secondary that can create turnovers and shut down opposing offenses. Overall, BYU has the talent and experience to compete at the highest level and win the championship next year. While Kansas may be improving, they still have a long way to go.
Whatever.
You don't want none of this.
That's AI Souk and Rock.
You don't want any of this smoke.
That's terrible. We should do that again and see how much better AI has gotten since that was.
Yeah.
That was right at the very beginning.
Yeah.
And it sounds kind of horrible now. I think at the time we thought, whoa, that's pretty good.
Yeah, no,
and now
I'm like,
this is trash.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think it sounded more like me, at least in the voice. I thought your voice didn't sound like you at all. And I remember when we first did that, I was like, oh, yeah,
I thought it sounded more like him the first time around.
But instead of Jaren Hall, I should have been talking about our Jewish quarterback in the secondary. I didn't mention that we got black guys in the secondary now. Hello? I mean, the key to us is that we now have a Jew at quarterback and black guys in the secondary. Is it any wonder we're undefeated? You
Black,
think
please.
You're
going
to take on Mormon Jesus and Jewish God? You think you're bringing that into our house?
You better watch out, dude. We're playing better.
Yeah, the spread's only 3.
Yeah, that should tell you something.
Well, yeah, no, but what religion are you bringing to the table? He's got two. He just told you.
I got two. Yeah, what are you bringing?
Jayhawk.
Godless heathens?
Jayhawkism.
You got a mythical tiny
Rob bringing some Buddhism to the table, maybe?
Rock Chuck,
you're
bitch.
About to get the burning bush is what's going to happen.
Tell you what.
Mazel tov, bitch.
The last 2 weeks, they've played Iowa State, and who'd they beat the week before that?
I'll pull up the old Rock bloop, Chuck here.
Bloop, 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 bloop.
They beat Iowa State, and they had a near victory over right. Kansas State.
That's right. They almost beat K-State. They should have won that game.
They've been close. They were close against Arizona State. They were close against TCU.
They've been close in all their games, but they were really making a lot of mistakes early in the year. Yeah. That Kansas State game, that was in Manhattan. They should have won that, and then they beat Iowa State, who only had one loss, and now they're going into BYU, bro. Watch your ass. Watch your hairy, pimpled, white ass.
We're not scared. We got gods on our side. Plural. Multiple.
By the way, wins against currently ranked teams. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
BYU has two.
So SMU, which is by far their best win. They got another one? Kansas State. Is Kansas State ranked?
Oh, yeah. They're a good team.
Okay, so two.
Yeah, well, I just said BYU has two.
Yeah, they don't have anyone else.
Oregon has two.
Mm-hmm.
Georgia, two. Kansas State, two. Notre Dame, two.
Mm.
Ole Miss, two. Zero wins against currently ranked teams. Penn State, Texas, Indiana, Army, Clemson, Colorado, Wazoo, and Missouri.
That's why I say there's so much bias that goes into this, is that if we think you're good going into the season, you don't have to play anyone and we'll still give you the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, but Indiana works against that because they're up to number five and they haven't played anyone.
The only reason they're there is because that there's everyone else kept losing and they have no choice but to put Indiana up there. None. And then Indiana will finally get to prove them. Well, I guess they did prove themselves. I mean, kind of. They beat Michigan.
Come on.
You know, it'll all come down to what happens with Ohio State.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, Texas starts in the top five.
Yes.
They don't beat any ranked teams, and they're still in the top five. Well, Indiana, and they lost the game.
Yeah.
Indiana did not start in the top 25. They haven't played anybody ranked.
Nope.
And they've won them all, and they're ranked fifth.
It's why I don't care what anyone says. I do believe that where you start matters.
Well, then how do you explain Indiana?
Well, because here's my point. So Indiana has gone all the way up here, right? If Indiana loses, we will just dismiss them and send them packing. But if you replaced Indiana with, let's go Oregon, right? And they played the exact same schedule, Ohio State or someone, and they lost one game, they'd drop a few spots, but instantly they would come bouncing right back up. But with Indiana or a school like BYU that we didn't think much of, we punish them so much for losing a game and immediately we want to throw them out. It matters where you start. When the reputation, you get the bounce back and you don't fall as much. Even if your schedule is just as horse crap as someone named Indiana. So I do think it matters what our perception of you is in the preseason. And I think it matters where we start slotting you. And when it takes you a while to build up, every loss is, I just think those losses for teams like that are punished way harder than if you're one of the blue bloods or we thought going into the year that you would be better.
Bottom line, they're ass.
So Oregon, BYU, Georgia, two wins against currently ranked teams. Penn State, Texas, Indiana, no wins against currently ranked teams. You know, there is one team in the country that has four wins against currently ranked teams. Only one.
Only one, huh?
Yep. And nobody has three.
I was trying to remember who has, like, no one be Boise. Bama, maybe?
Alabama.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, and Bama, I think, kind of controls their own destiny. But, you know, if Bama stubs their toe one more time, which is, you know, possible, it's going to be a weird playoff when this all shakes out.
But with all those SEC teams bunched up there, don't think that won't help Alabama.
Oh, absolutely.
Get in there.
Yeah. Well, and everyone's, you know, being critical of the SEC because it's like, well, when the SEC beats itself up, it's depth. But when someone else does it, yeah. But at the same time.
Well, who else is doing it, though?
Well, that's my thing. It just, you know, you can can bitch all you want about the SEC.
Well, I guess the Big 12 is.
Yeah. You can bitch all you want at the SEC. But Buck, you are a big fat duck honk.
Well, and that's right.
And he Oregon's, called you fat.
I know. I heard it.
It's are great. You gonna take that?
Well, it's mostly true.
I don't think you're fat.
Rotund?
I didn't mean you. I meant think you're sexy. I meant your fandom.
I know.
Your fandom.
I knew what you meant. I didn't take it as a slight.
So I'll put you.
I know you
because Oregon's really good, right? I think Oregon's the best team in the country. But if I and they're undefeated, but if I gave Oregon a schedule where they played Wisconsin, Georgia, Tennessee, LSU, Alabama, they go undefeated?
It's not looking like this schedule's looking.
And that's all.
It wouldn't.
So that's all I'm saying. No one's doubting that Oregon is the best team in the country. I'm certainly not doubting that. I'm happy that BYU's undefeated. I know for a fact if you put BYU in the SEC, we got two losses right now. We ain't undefeated, and we don't have one loss. And so you can bitch all you want about the SEC saying that, oh, we're so deep, and you can be like, well, a bunch of teams with two losses. You don't have enough hair on your ass if you're Ohio State, Oregon, or anyone else to stand up there and have the nerve to say that if you played in that conference where you have Tennessee, A&M, Texas, Georgia, Ole Miss, Alabama, LSU, South Carolina, Vanderbilt.
Their gauntlet is still the toughest to run, and it's not close.
It's not even close. So, yes, there is a difference between the Big 12 eating themselves up or when the Pac-12 did it and now when the SEC has a bunch of two-loss teams. They just do. You think Miami with their one loss? You think Miami wants to go play an SEC schedule? Because that's not going to work.
We just rolled, brother.
Miami, by the way, may have four losses if they had to play Georgia's schedule.
They're eating the dogs.
And that's just and if you think otherwise, it's just that you're bitter and you're angry. And I get why. The SEC is really annoying, but they're really good. And for even in the Big Ten, when you look at those schedules, for Oregon and Ohio State, they're going to play two real ball games all year. And for Oregon, can we be honest, it's kind of one. Like
this year it is.
Yeah. And for the schools that are on that list, there's not one school that you can point to that says, yeah, we had one tough game.
Well, in the Big 12, I saw some numbers over the weekend. Man, that league has been really fun. They've had 13 go-ahead scores in the final minute of Big 12 games.
Yeah.
There have been 22 lead changes in the fourth quarter of Big 12 conference games. And there have been 24 Big 12 conference games decided by one score.
Oh, yeah.
That league is bananas.
Yeah. We've had Colorado sitting there throwing Hail Marys, to win games.
BYU, and they control their own destiny.
Yeah, BYU had a ridiculous walk-off touchdown against Oklahoma State when they had no business winning that game. Did you see the end of the BYU-Utah game?
I did.
I mean, holy, BYU should have lost.
Holy war.
I mean, it was over. We got the benefit of a couple calls.
You sure did. The Utah's pissed.
Oh yeah, dude, they're absolutely freaking out. But I mean, yeah, BYU just alone has been in some absolute nail biters where I'm like, oh my god, I can't believe that happened. Yeah, the Big 12 has been bananas. It's not the best league, and it's not even close, but it is by far, and you've been saying this, it's by far the most entertaining and the funnest.
Yeah, it's a fun race for sure. All right, well, the college football playoff rankings are about to come out. We'll hopefully get to that when we return on The Fan. All right, they're revealing the college football playoff rankings as we speak.
Washington State, the Cougs, up at 18.
Yep.
Right. Go Cougs. You have no path to the playoff, but it's cool to see you up there.
Why do you always have to say that? Why can't you just say they're 18th?
I'm just being realistic.
You always try to tear them down.
That's not tearing them down. That's a hell of a year. Look at what happened to Oregon State this year. That's been a rough go, and Washington State is kind of getting slept on. Washington State's having a great year. It sucks that there is literally zero path for them to get to the playoff, and that stinks.
Well, my.
Man, if they would have been in a Mountain West sort of thing, then, we could have seen, I guess they lost to Boise, but they at least would have been in the conversation.
Best win?
Washington State?
Yeah.
God, I know they beat UW, although that's not...
At the time, I would have said UW.
Yeah.
Looks like they beat Texas Tech.
Yeah, they beat Texas Tech, but again, Texas Tech, I think, is now sub 500.
Portland State.
There may not be a real quality win.
And Genty demolished them.
Yeah, Boise State kicked the hell out of them. They beat Fresno State, Hawaii, San Diego State. There's not.
They got to play Oregon State still. Hey, what's going on with the Beavs?
Well, injuries and Gilbranson, and it's
Gilbranson sucks?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, he's bad.
He threw one of the worst pick sixes that I've ever seen last weekend.
It's really bad.
Really?
Yeah.
Worse than Flacco's?
It's rough. And again, they were decimated by injuries on defense, and it's just been a real spiral and a challenge. I mean, they've lost what, 4 in a row. Cal took them behind the woodshed. I mean, the Cal beatdown was one of the worst things that I've seen. I mean, it's 44-7, and to be honest with you, it wasn't that close. They were 1 of 12 on third down, and I want to say Cal threw for what 364 on them. And Oregon State only ran the ball for 60 yards, which was supposed to kind of be their calling card. And it's just been a rough year.
You see who the first team out is this week?
I did not.
Georgia.
Oh, look at that.
Not in the field.
Yeah. What an idiot.
That's tough, because there may not be a path for them to make it up unless they find a way to get into the SEC title game.
Yeah. I mean, just stupid.
Ole Miss jumped in there at 11.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean,
what an exciting time.
Ole Miss handled them. Do we know who has the inside track right now to be in the SEC title game?
I don't know that we know that. There's too many
variables.
They're all bunched up. I will say, having watched the Ole Miss-Georgia game, mm-hmm. Ole Miss, that was a legit win, dude. They punished them.
Yeah.
And Lane Kiffin said, because the big knock on Ole Miss has been that they just weren't as good in the trenches.
And Lane specifically never wins those games against top teams.
And he said, we set out to win this game mm-hmm. after getting our ass kicked by them last year. We brought in transfers for this game.
Yeah. Dude, their D-line.
And, dude, it was legit. I would say that the reason I bring that up, and we'll see where the rankings lay out here, and of course there's a long way to go. Ole Miss might be on the list of teams Oregon doesn't want to play.
Yes, because they shouldn't have lost to Kentucky. They lost by, basically, they are two plays away from being undefeated, and I am with you. That Ole Miss D line, it was that number, they've got this number 4, it's like Perkins or something. He's like 210 pounds.
Dude.
They move him all over the board. Oh my God.
Carson Beck had no chance.
They could not block him to save their life. I am with you. If I'm Oregon, and you're saying, what team do you want to avoid? I'm with you. I don't know if I want to play that Ole Miss defensive
Because then on
front.
Offense, they got Jackson Dart, who's really good. Around.
Yeah, one of the new metrics, well, I don't know about new, but metrics that analysts seem to really like these days is havoc.
Yes.
And Ole Miss, far and away, the number one team in defensive havoc at the line.
I just was really, really impressed. Up front, Georgia, you're right. Georgia had no chance to block them.
And when's the last time you said that about Georgia?
Yeah, it was a different
Kirby
animal.
Even after the game was like, well, yeah. I don't know.
Well, it's the old
got out coach, got out played.
If you can't block and when you don't have to bring pressure, but you can just rush 4 and you can affect teams like that.
Yeah, there's nothing they can do.
There's really nothing you can do.
Especially when Beck's throwing it all over the place.
Yeah, and that's like Ohio State tried to do against Oregon, and they couldn't. You know, it's like it's either you commit guys to the run and give up on the back end, or you play coverage and you rely on your front 4 to get there, and they couldn't. And I think Ole Miss might be able to get there with 4 because that D line was hunting.
I'm trying to figure out that whole tie-breaking title game scenario, and my head is spinning.
I have no idea.
SEC?
Yeah, there's so many scenarios, and basically, once you go through all the tiebreakers just for the first place team, then you got to go back and start over again for the second place team. So the team that came in second in the first tiebreaker might not be the obvious. It's a whole thing.
Well, because Tennessee, A&M, and Texas are all one loss teams,
right?
In conference, but like Tennessee still has to play Bama, A&M still has to play Texas.
Still has to play Arkansas, Kentucky, and A&M.
Yeah, so like things can change, but as of right now, Tennessee, A&M, and Texas are all one loss, and then you get down to the two loss teams, which is Georgia, Ole Miss, Bama, Missouri,
LSU, and
LSU.
Missouri. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's going
to
be...
Well, there's a long way to go.
A long way to go.
But BYU jumps to the 3 seed this week. Miami, they still have Miami winning the ACC, and they've got them as the 4.
We just rolled, brother.
And if you're Miami, even though that loss stung, you win the ACC, which was your really only path in anyways, and you'll be fine.
Well, the one thing Oregon fans always take note of each week, or at least I do for them, is the 8-9 matchup, because they are going to be the 1 seed.
Yeah.
The 8-9 matchup is back to being Notre Dame v. Tennessee.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that scares you at all.
I don't know.
Probably not. Probably because not. Alabama, Ohio State, and Ole Miss are going to be in the other three games.
Yeah. I would tell you this as a BYU guy. I don't want the three seed. I want the four.
Oh, yeah, because you want to play the 5-12. Well, no, because then you're going to have to play Ohio State.
I don't in the opener there, if you're the four seed, you're going to get Boise. And if you're like BYU at three right now, you'd get Ole Miss. And I'll take Boise over Ole Miss. I don't want that.
They would get a bye.
No, first four, you get a bye. So yes. What you're going to get, though, is the winner of...
Yeah, yes. Boise is not going to win their first game because it's likely going to be
You'll
Ohio
get the winner
State.
Of like the 6-11 or something like that?
That's true.
So six, who would be... So six is Penn State Ole Miss. That's who you'd get the winner of right now.
Yeah.
And that's not great.
Because that probably means you're getting Ole Miss.
Right. So which would you rather have, Penn State v. Ole Miss winner or Ohio State v. Boise State winner?
Yeah, it's a valid point. I forgot about the bye.
I mean, it sounds like you're getting Ole Miss or Ohio State. Neither one of those is great.
Can I just be honest? It's going to be so awesome that BYU hopefully makes the playoff. I know what's happening.
You guys are toast.
I know what's going to go down. I just want to say, right now, I have no illusions of grandeur. I have a real good feeling. I don't know if you watched any of the Utah game. We could not block Utah's front. And I don't want to see what Ole Miss's front would do to us. So, you know.
How about Texas against the winner of Alabama and Indiana?
Yeah, let's go.
How about that?
And we've already seen, we saw
Bama, Texas,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we saw Bama, Texas, right?
Yeah,
Texas got them pretty good. So, yeah, we'll get a little rematch. And the committee has said they do not care about matchups. They are not going to do any slotting when it comes to preventing, it's like in the NCAA basketball tournament, they try to avoid that. There's the College Football Committee has said they're not going to take that into consideration. If we get rematches in conference or regular season games, doesn't matter. And I couldn't agree.
And by the
more.
Way, we did not see Texas Alabama. That was last year.
That was last year?
Yeah.
What was the big
Alabama?
Alabama played Wisconsin, and then who did Texas play? Texas had
Georgia.
Another. That's what Georgia. It was. It was Texas Georgia. That's
and
what
they
we're thinking
lost.
Of. Yeah.
Yeah, so Ohio State is the 5. Playing Boise State, winner gets Miami. God, look at Ohio State's road. Boise State and then Miami. Really?
If it sits out that way.
You could do a lot worse than being the 5 seed. Like the top, like even if, let's say Oregon were to not win the Big Ten championship game and you fall to a 5 spot, that's a good spot to be. Yeah,
well, you know who's going to be sitting there. If you don't win the Big Ten and you fall to the 5, they're going to play Boise State again.
Yeah.
I think they probably will. Yeah.
Because Boise State's not going to be higher than 12, are they?
No. No. Boise State will be sitting there. They will be the 12.
So right now they've got 4 Big Ten, 4 SEC, 1 ACC, 1 Big 12.
Yeah. I know it won't matter.
And then Notre Dame.
But I would love to see Boise lose one more game because it could possibly open the door for Army.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
And dude, as a Ducks fan, I would love to see Army in the 5-12
that
matchup.
That would be so cool.
I know. But the fact that if you got, and I'm a Navy guy, right? Army,
but
Navy.
But just to get a service academy
I'm
in
a Navy
would be
guy,
awesome.
But I root for Army and Air Force whenever they're not playing Navy. I just think it would be stinking amazing in the first year of the playoff if you got West Point, if you got the Cadets rolling in there, and I know they're going to lose by 1,000.
But it's still that declaration that anyone can get in, even the service academies.
Yes. It would be freaking awesome if the Black Knights found a way in. And I'm looking, they've got, well, they're going to get their ass kicked by Notre Dame this week. But they got Notre Dame, Texas San Antonio, and Navy. So they're not going to go undefeated. But like if their only loss was Notre Dame, and if they kept it competitive and Boise stubs their toe one more time, it's still not inconceivable to think that Army could find their way in, which would be freaking amazing. And they got like a really good quarterback this year. It's not like, you know, that Army is just a pile. They've got
Bryson Daly is his name?
Yeah, Daly, who's having a really nice year for them.
All right, well, there are your college football playoff rankings for the week. Oregon is number 1, as expected.
Yeah.
And they would play the winner of Notre Dame, Tennessee.
Still unanimous, I'm assuming.
If it ended today.
For the Duckies.
So the second round games would be, or the quarterfinal games would be likely Ohio State, Miami. Mm-hmm. Oregon, Tennessee?
Well, Suk, how would you handicap that? Tennessee, Notre Dame, who wins that, and who would you rather see as Oregon?
Tennessee scares me because their offense, and but I guess their quarterback is healthy.
Yeah.
Their offense isn't any good.
Their offense isn't any good, but they play.
Why do they scare you?
Because they play really, really good defense.
Well, you made it sound like their offense is what scares
you. Oh, no, 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 no. They are, they play really good defense. Their defense is nasty. If you think Ole Miss's front's good, wait till you see Tennessee.
So who would you rather play, Notre Dame or Tennessee?
I think I'd still rather play Notre Dame.
Okay. So then we'll go Oregon, Notre Dame, or Tennessee. Then you have Ole Miss, BYU.
Yeah, you don't want,
And then you have Texas, Alabama, maybe.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what.
Unless Indiana.
If they get it together, you know who has got the potential to win this whole stupid thing, if they figure it out, is Alabama. If they just keep getting better, they've got the bones of that thing. That may be the one that if they find a way to get in, and as a two-loss SEC team, whether they win the national title or not, Caleb DeBoer, that thing is, I think they're figuring some stuff out. I'm not certain that I want to play Alabama. They may be a squad that because Milroe's ability, he throws one of the better deep balls in college football. And when they finally just do, like, screw it, dude, just run.
A really good running quarterback who can also pass in college football is, I think, the hardest thing for a college defense
to
defend.
For the longest time, I don't know why, they were trying to do the whole, no, you're a pocket quarterback. I love that they finally have just reached the point of, hey, dumbass, like, we're done with this. I understand you're trying to prove a point here. No, run. Just run. And he's the best, he's arguably the second best running back in college football behind Genty. Let him run.
Well, I will be rooting against that.
Yeah.
We cannot have Alabama winning a championship in the first year that Saban is gone. That would not
especially
be,
as a potential double-digit seed.
Yeah, not happy about that.
Yeah.
So I'll be rooting against them. I'm going to have, that's going to make me root for Texas.
My sneaky underdog, if it's, if I had to pick someone, I'm not going to lie, I wouldn't mind seeing the Lane Train win one.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Make a run.
What an exciting time.
Ole Miss and
Lanning v. Lane in the final.
I'd watch that. Check that out. Plus, I like when Ole Miss wears the baby blues. It's a good look.
Well, they were saying Jackson Dart's plus 2,000 still to win the Heisman.
Is he?
Yeah. And that's probably because he just doesn't have any major showcase games left, but he's making a surge.
Yeah.
Dude, guy's good.
As long as they don't screw this up, Dylan Gabriel's going to win a Heisman.
You think so?
Yeah.
Right now, Hunter's like plus 120. He's almost even money.
Yeah, Hunter's the guy.
And then Gabriel's behind him at like plus 320.
But, yeah, Travis Hunter's going to be tough. If especially if they go to the Big 12 title game.
Do you think it matters if they lose again?
I do.
Yes.
I do.
Because I kind of feel like that doesn't really, for his case specifically, it doesn't matter that much because he does so much. Like
he played, did you see last week, did you see his snap count?
I mean, usually it's like over 100.
Penalties included because, you know, penalties don't count as official snaps.
Right.
But I believe with penalties included, I'm going to double check this, but I believe, take a guess.
How many snaps?
How many snaps?
Did he get over 100?
I bet it's,
he got over 100.
I'm going to say 120.
14.
183.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I was listening. I'm going to double check that number, but I was listening to Joel Klatt was talking about it and I was like,
how's that even?
And that's why I don't know that it matters if they win or lose again. Like as long as he just keeps playing and playing like that.
I was like, what? Come again? 183 snaps? He is going to more than likely be a finalist for the Biletnikoff and the Thorpe. Like there's, I mean, it's one thing to play both. He should be a finalist for both of those awards. I mean, if you're being smart as a voter, even if they lose three, but I think if they lose another one and Gabriel keeps doing this, I still think it's going to be him, but Travis Hunter is making a really, really strong case.
All right. He only took 44 snaps against K-State. I wonder why.
You know what else I learned today?
He got hurt.
He got hurt.
Travis Hunter has a younger brother named Travis Hunter.
Oh.
Who's, I guess, coming into his own in Division II.
What are his Heisman odds?
Not as high, but apparently he's having a breakout year. That's what I saw on the socials.
All right, you guys want to stop talking about this crap?
Sure. Actually, we probably should. We're a little late.
Yeah. It's the Big 12!
We got stuff to get to.
It's Division I football!
To get to.
Maybe it's time to grab a hold of your little stepladders and go ahead and climb out of my ass for a while.
Faking Death News kicks off the club next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.